The Wake Up Zone continues on 104.5 The Zone. Time is 9:19. Alongside Blaine Bishop, I'm Kevin Ingram. Morgan Alexander, our producer. Mark is out this morning. Bring in a guy who's just counting the days until his beloved Virginia Cavaliers get another shot in a 1-16 matchup in the NCAA tournament. John Glennon from The Athletic. What's going on this morning, John?
Hey, Kevin. How are you doing?
We're good.
What's up, JG?
How's it going, Blaine?
Wanted to do, before we get going, talking some Preds and some Titans here, tell us about your book and the signing you have coming up.
Absolutely. Appreciate that. Yeah, book on the Preds has been out since November. It's kind of a compilation of stories over the years about the Predators, some on the ice, some, you know, kind of behind the scenes. Title is 100 Things Predators Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. A different kind of title, but I think it's an entertaining book for Preds fans. And yeah, sure enough, I'm going to be signing at Bridgestone Arena on March 19th, the next home game, which is against Toronto. Don't know exactly where yet, but I'll be there somewhere. If you bring that book or if you want to buy one there, I'd be more than happy to sign.
There you go. Very cool. John, did you think the Preds might look better than they did after a few days off going into that game on Saturday?
A little bit, yeah. You know, it's tough to get a handle on this team. You know, you kind of keep waiting and keep expecting them to kind of have that big turnaround moment where they start rattling off a few wins, and it's just not happening yet. And, you know, I'm not sure whether it's the fact that there have been so many injuries this year have disrupted chemistry, or what exactly it is, but they just can't seem to put it together for a sustained stretch here. And, you know, as a result, not exactly where they expected to be. Still, obviously, a playoff team in the works here, but, you know, I don't think they're where they would like to be at this point.
How interesting is the whole conversation that this popped up about the goaltenders and what might happen when the postseason gets here?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me because, you know, for the most part over the past couple of years, you know, it sort of down the stretch, you know, Pekarinen has gotten the bulk of the games and Juuse Saros has been used to kind of keep Pekka fresh. But, you know, recently, you know, the last six games, they've gone back and forth, you know, one game for Pekka, one game for Juuse Saros, which is a little unusual. And especially like last Saturday, you look at that game. You know, the Preds had been off since Tuesday, so clearly Pecorino didn't need, you know, any rest going into that game. But still, they went with Saros, gave him the start, and I think it's probably because Saros had been playing just a little bit better in his last couple of starts. So, you know, I can see where the sort of the speculation begins and the questions are raised that, hey, maybe this is time to give Saros a shot, which is one of the reasons I asked Peter Laviolette yesterday. I said, you know, do you have kind of a plan going down the stretch as to how you want to work the goalies? And he said, you know, they have an idea. He said both guys are playing well, but they still want to give Pekka the bulk of the games going down the stretch, which obviously means, you know, unless something drastic happens, I think Pekka is your playoff starter. But it's very interesting because, you know, as well as Pekka has played over the years, you know, I think we all remember last year was not so good for Pekarinen in the playoffs. So there's certainly some clamoring, I think, for Juuse Saros for the passing of the torch. But I don't think that's on the radar at the moment.
From The Athletic, John Glennon joining us here on the Wake Up Zone.
Hey, JT, man. I guess with the Predators for me is, you know, we watched him in the playoffs last year. It seems like Kyle Turris kind of disappeared. I think he's going to have to play big for them to have a shot at the Cup. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, absolutely right. I think right now that it sounds kind of strange to say this about a second line center, but he's really the biggest X factor, I think, right now, you know, going down the stretch and into the playoffs for the Predators. And, you know, it's, as I say, it's kind of odd to say your second line center, a guy who's making $6 million a year, is a question mark. But that's the case right now. And I know Kyle Turris missed a number of games with injury earlier, and, you know, it was a foot injury as well, so he wasn't able to skate. He wasn't able to necessarily keep his conditioning up because of that. But on the other hand, it's now been 15 games, you know, since Kyle Turris has returned to the lineup, He has, you know, one goal and three assists in those 15 games since coming back. A couple of games ago, he was dropped down to the fourth line. Now, in practice the other day, you know, we saw him kind of gradually moving back up. He's up to the third line, at least in practice the other day. But, boy, that's, you know, that's not what the Predators had in mind when they gave Kyle Turris a big extension. And, yeah, going back to last year when he was a bit of a disappointment in the playoffs, you know, he's a guy that has to be better for the Preds to make real strides in the playoffs. You know, I think they'll certainly be able to count on that first line is pretty consistent for the most part, but they're going to need some support, and Kyle Turris is a big question mark for me right now. Can he get it done?
We're talking about the Titans in their free agent signings. And, you know, I was really impressed with the two signings. Naturally, Vaccaro was here before, but Adam Humphries, not knowing a lot about him. He's also a punt returner. Talk about that, and do you think he will play that role? I know Adoree Jackson did that last year, but not really very well, I guess, at times. What do you think? Do you think Humphries will be being a punt returner as well?
I think it certainly gives him another option back there. You know, he certainly doesn't have the explosive capabilities that Adoree Jackson has. But, you know, we on the other hand, we really haven't seen that yet from Adoree Jackson. We've seen little flashes of, hey, you know, this could be a kind of a breakaway guy in punt returns, but not too much. And I think he kind of struggled, as you mentioned there, with his confidence, you know, towards the end of the season. You know, some of his decision-making looked a little bit off as well. But Adam Humphries is certainly... You know, if as we've also seen, if Adoree Jackson starts to get beat up a little bit, he's certainly not the biggest guy. You know, Adam Humphries is certainly another option they can use at punt return. But yeah, I think it's a really good signing overall as well. you know, this is a guy who is just kind of what the Titans need, a guy who's reliable, a guy who is consistent. You know, a guy who can move the chains on third down. Now, he's not going to be, he's not going to take the top off defenses or anything like that, or he's not going to, you know, get you 30 yards on a catch on a regular basis or anything like that. But kind of a nice, secure, steady security blanket kind of guy that I think Marcus Mariota will be able to count on. You look at his last six games last year. For the Buccaneers, average 6 yards a game. So that's the kind of production I think that the Titans will really be happy to see.
What other position or positions do you think the Titans will target in free agency?
Yeah, I still think, you know, that there are a few positions that need to be bolstered. I think the most obvious right now, I think, has to be the edge defender. You know, Rakpo retired, Derek Morgan, mm-hmm. It doesn't look like he'll be back either. And, you know, they've got some good young talent, guys like Harold Landry, Sharif Finch, Kamilah Correa, you know, guys that have some potential, but they need some experience there. They need kind of a mentor guy, a guy who's been through this before. So I think that has to be the number one target right now. And those guys are going quick on the free agent market. As we've seen, there's not a ton of the bigger names left. So you're looking around right now and, you know, I wonder if a dark horse guy might be a guy like a Cameron Wake from, played last year in Miami. He's 37. He's certainly no spring chicken, but I think this is a position where the Titans don't need any more, you know, young guys that are just starting out. I think Cameron Wake is still a guy who racks up some big numbers. So, you know, he had 6 sacks last year and more in the past couple years before that. So, he's a possibility still out there. Of course, Justin Houston is the biggest name out there. He's gonna command a big salary as well. And you know, if you want to go a little bit under the radar again, a guy named Shaq Barrett out of Denver, I think would be a good move too. He didn't get a ton of playing time because he's playing behind guys like Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. But when he did get the chance, he was very productive. So he might be an interesting pickup on the edge as well.
Good stuff. John, thanks so much, man. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, it's John Glennon from The Athletic, covers the Preds and the Titans, and his book signing is 1 week from tonight when the Predators host Toronto. He'll be doing that at Bridgestone Arena. 928 here on 104.5 The Zone. The situation with Russell Westbrook and the fan has certainly become a national story this morning, and some interesting
more
stuff.
More info on
the
fan.
Yeah, so a little more info about this fan. We'll examine that when we come back. This is the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. You want to join us, 615-737-1045 or on Twitter at WUZ1045. All right, you've been thinking about selling your house. Springtime is getting here. Maybe now is the time. I got a new plan for you. If you haven't heard about Open Door, well, this is the way you need to sell this house. You get it done in a short amount of time. You don't have to worry about having the house all staged and cleaned up and ready to go for guests and those who are going to be checking it out. You just take a few simple steps. You go to the website. I'm there now with opendoor.com/radio. How it works, you enter in the details of your house. You're going to get that offer, and then you're going to go from there. You accept the offer and complete your free home assessment. You close the whole thing on your own timeline. And you get paid within a matter of days. You don't have to worry about financing following through and that sort of stuff. You close in a few days at a competitive price. No listing or showings or staging or all that stress that goes with it. Transparent fees and pricing. And a cool thing, too, is if you need repairs done, you skip the work. They handle the repairs and they deduct the cost. It's easy. Get that house sold with Open Door. You'll be on to your next place is what you really want to be thinking about. But again, go to the website. It's super easy to navigate. I'm there right now. Opendoor.com/radio. That's opendoor.com/radio.